Amen, amen. We want to thank our brothers for listening, or for leading, rather, this morning. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. I want to also, before we get into this morning's message, just say, let's lift up President Trump. Let's lift up this country of ours. What happened on yesterday was just beyond our own imagination, assassination attempt here in this country of ours. And no matter what the politics are, no matter what your beliefs are, no matter what side you are, we know that that is just not the right way to handle things. And so we pray for this country, and especially as we're going into this season, this political race, and we're really getting down to toward the end of it. Let's just pray and keep our wits about ourselves and continue to look to the Lord and trust in Him as our guide through all of this, we started the song as our shelter in time of storm. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since I don't have a slide for the scripture today, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time together, Lord. We ask that you would open our eyes to your word. We ask that you would help us to see clearly, and then to put into practice the clear word that we see. We ask that you would help each of us to grow closer to you, that we also might be that light that you've commanded us to be, shining forth in darkness. Help us to lead others to you. Help us to live in ways that model our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to talk, walk, act, think like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to forgive like you forgive. Help us to sympathize and empathize with others the way you do, Lord. Help us to try our very best to put on the mind of Christ and become less of ourselves and more of you. Bless this time together once again in your word. Help us to gain some things, some insights, or be reminded of some things that might help us in our pursuit of you, in our pursuit of making heaven our eternal home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to imagine yourself at the start of a huge, long race. And at the end of this race, you're going to get $100 million. All right, you ready, huh? This race, it's going to be grueling. I mean, it's not just a regular race. You're going to have to swim. You're going to have to bike pedal. It's more than even a triathlon. You're going to have to do a whole lot of things. However, the payout, biggest payout of any sporting event ever, and you're in this race. And I want you to think about being in that race in the very beginning, and you've been training, you've been preparing, you've been getting ready for it, and now you're ready for this great challenge. And I'm telling you that even couch potato like me would enlist. I'll try. Look, I'm gonna get out there and do my best. Why? Because the payout is so great that I've got to at least try. Hello, you know how it is. I'm not gonna tell. But you know that lottery get to a certain number. Even some people that don't play the lottery, if it get too big, you go, oh, take a chance. All right, I'm talking about y'all, not me. Okay, I'm just letting you know. In this text, we see a comparison, or not only in this text, but throughout the Bible, we see a comparison often of the Christian life as a race. And we're going to be looking at that a little bit more on this morning. The Christian life as a race with a payout greater than billions. Obviously, our payout is heaven, making heaven our eternal home. And we've got a grueling race right before us. We've got a race that is unconventional. It's not, you know, you can't just plot it out and all of that. And, you know, you're going to go through different terrains. You're going to go through different things. You're going to have to swim some of this way. You're going to have to walk some of the way. You're going to have to run some of the way. You're going to have, and you're going to go through all different type of climates. You think it's hot now, wait till you get to the desert. You think it's cold in the wintertime. You know, you're going to have to go through all of that, but yet what keeps you going and the fuel that keeps you going, even when you're in frigid temperatures, that payout at the end keeps people engaged, keeps you getting up and moving because you know I want to cross that finish line. I want my name called. I want to get that prize. And that's exactly what it is in this Christian walk. We're going to go through some things. We sung the song of shelter in a time of storm. You're going to have some storms in this life. We're going to have storms through this life. There are going to be some setbacks. There are going to be some times when you're running this race and you trip over yourself. You fall down on the ground and you got to figure out whether to get up and continue running or to just throw your hands up in the air and give up. And while you see other people running the same race you're running, some of them are dropping off. Some of them are deciding to abandon. Some of them are taking a different route in all of that. And yet you have to stay determined and keep your eyes on the prize. And that's what the Christian life is about. Now, I want to look at this little by little, how we can run our faith run. Therefore, it says, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set and marked out for us. First of all, it says here that we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, and as we are, that there is something that the runner must do. It says, throw off any weight. Throw off any weight. Now, I want you to just imagine being in this in a race, and you've got a bunch of gear on. You ever seen one of the military when they get ready to go to war, and what they've got gear, they've got stuff in the bag, you know, because you're gonna need some stuff when you're out there in them fields, right? You're gonna need some food, some supplies, change of clothes, So it makes sense. If you go hiking, you're gonna put a whole bunch of gear in you, and even though you're hiking, you've got to take this gear with you because that gear is gonna be useful to you. But in a race, the exact opposite is true. All you need to run the race is them legs of yours, a little bit of refreshment, so hopefully somebody giving you some water along that way, and the endurance and all the training that you did already to run. And matter of fact, less is more in a race. You want the lightest sneakers. Even the materials of your clothing could make a difference. You want the lightest clothing. Well, in this Christian race is saying, look, there's some things that we gotta let go of. There's some things that are holding us back and weighing us down that you gotta let go of. There are some mindsets that are holding you down that we have to let go of. There are some things, ways we think, ways we act, that are being distractions. Unhealthy relationships, unforgiveness, anger, all these type of things that when we look in running this race, we have to say and assess, is this going to be useful for me in running this race? Or is it better I let it go because it's holding me back from being what the man God wants me to be or the woman God wants you to be? Amen? Got to make those assessments. And then I love this because it starts out saying, therefore, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us, because of that, let us throw off every weight. So it's starting out, if you look at Hebrews 11, this great hall of faith where we see a great men and women of God that God used in a very mighty way. And if you look at this, he's saying, he's talked about Noah. He talked about Abel and Cain and Abel. He talked about Abraham. He talked about so many that have gone on before and faithfully completed their task. And now he's saying, in essence, imagine yourself in the arena. Now it's your turn to run. And whether they're cheering you on, you know, metaphorically or not, they're cheering you on, or whether their example is setting an example for you to go on, either way, their lives have served in such a way that I can look at Noah and say, Noah, I've seen sometimes you probably wanted to quit. I've seen the frustrations that you had with trying to lead other people and trying to share the gospel with other people. I see the commitment you had to your family. I see, and all of a sudden you can start looking at the life of Noah, and through his life we're gaining valuable information in order to run our race. See, he made some failures. Abraham made some failures. David made some failures. And we can look at those failures and say, you know what? Let's not do what he did. Let's not do what they did. And in a sense, what they're doing, even through their bad actions, they're encouraging us. They're instructing us. And of course, the good, so much good that we see from their lives, their commitment to God, in spite of the storms, in spite of the setbacks and their failures and all of that. Look at Peter, for example. Peter that denied Jesus Christ. Most people would just look at him, written him off. Jesus used him in a mighty way to even usher in the first message for thousands to be able to come into the church on the day of Pentecost. He used Peter in that way. Right? And so what the Lord wants us to do, he wants us to look at those examples and realize now, I want you to see what it says now in verse 1 again. He said, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every weight that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Did you see us repeated a number of times? It's your turn. You know, so sometimes when we're growing up, based on the faith of mama and dad, or grandmama and granddad, or whoever it is that's our caretakers. And then at some point, it gets to the point where now you got to run your race. Now it's your turn to go ahead and take the baton and start running. And these are the encouragements for us that are starting to run that race, or even if you've been running for quite some time, some encouragements. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles us. I've told you this phrase many times before about sin. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep it longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you want to pay. We keep messing with sin and inviting it in and toying with it and all that and allowing its place in our lives, then it will get into the driver's seat and move us away from God even more and more. Those compromising and allowing all those different things into our lives can move us away from God. Sin will take us further than we wanted to go. It'll sink its teeth in us, keep us longer than we want to stay. And when it's all said and done, it's going to make you pay more. See, because the sin's enticement is its beauty and how it's going to provide and how it's going to make you feel and how it's going to benefit and bless, right? And then when sin comes in, you know, you look at the commercials. I've shared this before. You look at the commercials, you don't see somebody out there smoking Cools and looking like a vagabond. No, he's the coolest. The person smoking the Cool is the coolest one. And little puffs come out like, whoa, that is so, as a kid, that got me. I'm going to just tell you the truth. That, like, whoa, look at those little things in the air, right? Like, they're not going to show you the inside of a lung that has so much tar in it and is blackened and is turned, looks older in age because of the damage that's happening on the inside. They're not going to show you that. Sin's not going to show you that, and what happens is by the time you pay for it, it's too late often. You know, now you got to go back. It's better not to go into that than to now try to have to repair it. Amen, doctors in the audience, amen. It says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. These are those heroes of faith, and they're modeling for us and helping us to run our race. Secondly, we got to stay focused on the goal. Focus on the goal. You know, it's so many times, you guys know I finished my MDiv, and there were so many times I sat down to do. All right, I got to do a project or do something. And then, ooh, what's this this news that came up? Huh, what's that? Oh, look at this little puppy. A little puppy video. Oh, look at the puppy video. Yeah. Oh, that's cute. Look at this. Oh, let me forward this on. Chris is gonna like this at work. She needs to see this. Yeah. I'm doing everything except what I'm supposed to be doing. Is there anybody else that understands that? Anybody understands that? Okay. All right. And then now it's 30 minutes later. I'm like, what did I even sit to the computer to do? I forgot what I even came here to do, right? Sometimes my point is we can get so distracted. Even while we're doing something good, sometimes things can distract us and keep us from accomplishing something that is so important to accomplish. And one of the things that that Satan wants to do is take us off the big picture. Keep our eyes on something different. He even tried it with Jesus, didn't he? Remember in the temptation and Jesus was being tempted in the desert and all of that, and here he comes to try to distract Jesus. You know, you're hungry, ain't you? Go ahead and get something to eat. You're thirsty, ain't you? You know, even the cross, he's trying to tell him, bypass the cross. Just throw yourself down. Instead of going to the cross, just throw yourself down and that'll declare you the Son of God, right? So he's trying to distract from the main purpose, but Jesus was not having it. He stayed resolute and determined. Even the moment, remember when Peter, him and Peter were having this conversation, and all of a sudden he had to rebuke Peter. He was telling him, "Look, I got to go and die." And Peter's, "You ain't going nowhere, Lord." How Jesus responded? "Satan, get behind." He didn't say Peter. Satan, get behind, because what he saw was the influence, listen, the influence of Satan working through Peter at that moment to try to stop Jesus's purpose. The same enemy uses the same tricks on us. He wants us to distract us and get us off on another tangent somewhere else. Don't look your eyes on what Jesus is doing or what Jesus has said. Keep your eyes focused over here. He wants to distract us. But it's telling us here to keep our focus on the Lord. It says, let us fix our eyes. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he's saying, look at Jesus. But not only look at Jesus. Look at Jesus' example as an example that we should follow. look at Jesus's example as your example and my example to follow. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Look, what did he do? He's the author and finisher of our faith for the joy set before him. I want you to see that. The joy set before him. I want you to see something. It's not saying there was joy in the process. The joy was in the completion of this. The joy was going to come at the end of fulfilling this goal. Here's the goal. The cross was the goal. The cross was, you know, and resurrection, of course. But that's the goal, to redeem us. And so anything that thwarted that goal, Jesus wasn't going to have. But the joy, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The joy set before him endured the cross. Why did he endure? Because he knew the results. Scorning shame and sat down at the right hand of God. Us too, just as I have the scripture reference here, Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize of which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Getting across any finish line usually is hard, right? And usually the amount of people that start whatever endeavor, whether it be a physical race or, you know, whatever it is, usually whoever who ends up finishing is less than who started, right? And so for us, we got to, first of all, make some determinations. Am I going to be a finisher? Am I going to be a finisher? I've got to adopt a finishing mindset. And if I'm going to finish, especially in this Christian walk, then that means I've got to look at something, you know. And who's the lady that swam the English Channel, Nadia, something Nadia or something like some, I think that's her last name. But nevertheless, she swam the channel and broke records. And I know I shared it before. I'm sorry I don't have all the details right now. But as she was swimming, there was a boat out in front of her. You know what that's called? And even in some races, they might have like a lead. Someone lead. It's just for direction, you know. And I want us to think of our that's what, first of all, Jesus did for us. He's leading us in the front, right? Here we are swimming, or here in a race, sometimes you have someone who's setting the pace. So they're out in front, and we're running beside. That's what Jesus is doing. First of all, that's what Jesus did. That's what the apostles, these men, these heroes of faith, that's what they did. And so it's important for us when you get down and I don't know what to do and all that, there's plenty of resource right here within the Word of God to share with us. There are plenty of examples. And if you need the greatest example, look to Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then you got to have that stamina. You got to develop that spiritual stamina. We got to recognize that it. First of all, you don't get it quick and in a hurry. All right, you don't get it quick and in a hurry. You ever seen some people? I've seen some rookie players, basketball, football players, and all, and they come out and all of a sudden, they look like they've taken over the league. And then you don't hear nothing else from them again. And then there's some that are like first round picks. Right, and then they look like busts. All right, so some of y'all sports people understand my lingo. All right, others are looking like, "What are you talking about, bust?" But they look like busts. They look like they weren't worth what they were. But it took them a little time to develop. Some come out the gates quickly and fade. Some come out slowly and crescendo, and then there are others that just come out and are great, you know, and some that come out and just are never good in the first place. But nevertheless, here with us, what we want to do is continue looking to Jesus. And I lost my point, so I'm going to go to my next point. All right. Endurance. Look at this William Barclay quote. Endurance isn't just about the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory. And I love this. We're looking at Jesus' example. We're embracing challenges. We're able to embrace challenges because we're looking at his example. We look at his example in order to help us embrace challenges, but also we're embracing challenges. You see what I'm saying? The cycle goes on and on. There's more. The more we look at the Lord, the more we can gain strength for ourselves in helping us to overcome different challenges life has to present. And it's not a one-time thing. It's a continual thing over and over and over again. And so... endurance is built up over time. That's where I was trying to get to earlier. But you got to stay the course. You got to stay on the right path. Imagine having endurance and you've got some great perseverance, but you're going the wrong way. Yeah. Anybody ever seen planes, trains, and automobiles? You're going the wrong way. All right, three of you. Okay, amen, amen. All right, three of you. Stay the course. What is up? Philippians 3:14. My brother read it earlier for us. I know you didn't. He read the second Timothy. Sorry, brother. I got this bilingual Bible. Kind of looks weird sometimes. 3:14, you know, I'm going to start at 12. He says, not that I have obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press to take hold on that which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I want to emphasize this word, press, press. I'm not walking gingerly. I'm not casually walking. I'm pressing. Anybody ever press weights? you don't press weights with air. There's nothing to exert. Yeah, I mean exert any. There's nothing to exert. There's nothing challenging me. Right? So I ain't pressing nothing just doing this. That's the motion. But you give me a bar with some weights on it and then put that thing on my chest. In order for me to get it off, I'm going to have to press. So it's telling us as we're walking this Christian life, there's opposition. There's opposition. We're not just taking a nice stroll. There are enemies. There's an enemy that's out there. There are challenges. There's enemies within us. As we look in the mirror, hello, we're oftentimes our own worst enemies. You've got different influences. So all these different challenges and all that. And here we are running this race with opposition. All right, we're running this race with lots of air coming at us. It's going to be a different race if you're running and the wind is blowing. Right? And is blowing right in your direction. Yeah. That's a different race. And that's the race that we're currently engaged in. Right? So we're in this race and we gotta press toward that mark, that higher calling. And I love the fact that it's giving us the payoff. What are you pressing for? The payoff. This prize, this upward call, I started earlier by painting this picture of being a billionaire, and maybe some of you were like, I know Caesar at least was like, yeah, get me involved in this. But the payoff that we're going to receive, the prize that we're going to receive is greater. It's a prize that rust and moth cannot corrupt. Where thieves do not break in and steal. This is a different type of prize that we're battling for. And so this race is a little different too. We've got to press toward that mark. And here's the one that my brother read earlier in 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept The faith. And this is exactly the words. These are the words that we want to be able to say when we come down to our last days, when we're standing before God, or even before that. I'm done. I've finished. I've completed. I understand what the task was, and I've done all possible to try to meet that. I've finished my race. I've kept the faith. Keeping the faith is challenging. You know, because once again, the oppositions that are out here. But I want you to see the reward. I want you to think of the reward on the back end. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Right? And then he calls your name. He calls my name. And I'm telling you, whatever sufferings you've endured, whatever trials you've had to go through, I mean, none of it is going to be in comparison to the great blessings that we're about to receive. And those things would be just thrown out from our own minds, right? You don't think about the suffering as much after you had that baby. You're holding that beautiful newborn baby. Those 9 months, you're not thinking about it at that moment. You're thinking about this beautiful life that's come in to this world. That's what you're thinking about, right? When that person crosses that finish line and they are exhausted and they're laying there, but they're crying. They're not crying in pain. They're crying tears of joy because they've suffered through this race, but now they've gotten to that end and now they're able to throw their hands in the air in victory. It was worth the effort. It was worth the perseverance. It was worth the suffering. It was worth the time that I decided to say no to the world and all that to be able to come to church. It was time. It was worth the sacrifices I made in order not do certain, sometimes not to do what I wanted to do, but to do what needed to be done for somebody else. It was worth the times where I sacrificed my own so that someone else could have, or sacrificed my time so I could talk to somebody else. It was worth it. It's worth the times when, man, sometimes I didn't even want to get up to get to church. But I forced myself anyway, and then I got the blessing because I came, because I heard exactly what I needed to hear, or I was encouraged or had an opportunity to encourage someone, which is exactly what I needed. It's worth it. There are some people who are like, well, I don't know if I want to be a Christian. Christians don't have fun. You better stop talking to the wrong people. You're talking to the wrong people. The fun might be different, but we have fun as Christians. Amen. Some people, I won't come to the Lord until I'm fixed and I'm right. How's that been working for you? I'm going to do a Dr. Phil on you. How's that been working for you? No. The Lord has a prize for all of us. And the prize is called heaven. And there's something I know about heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You don't accidentally get in, right? And so you have to determine, look, I'm going to run this race. I want to start on the starting line, and I want to get to the finish line. And I understand there's going to be challenges in between. There's going to be challenges in between, but I am determined to make it to the very end. I want to hear my name done. I want to be able to say the same words as Paul. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. But that all starts by making that initial step, taking that initial step to get into the race. See, Paul's been talking to people who've already done this, have already entered the race, and he's telling them how to maintain and stay to the very end to be able to receive that great prize. But you got to first qualify to get into the race. And you get into this race through baptism. Not just baptism. It's just, you know, because sometimes when you say baptism, people just think of the act. But I want to go beyond the act. You coming as an individual that says, I'm ready to surrender my life and surrender to the Lord completely, right? And you coming to that point of ready to turn from your will and your way to his will and his way, Right? So, and then at this point you go, well, what do I need to do? And you see baptism commanded by the Lord, commanded by the apostles, and that's why you do it, because you understand that I am now entering into this covenant relationship with the Lord. I'm surrendering to him. He's washing away my sins, and now he's adding me to the family, and now I'm starting this race. That's the beginning. After an obedient baptism, that's just the beginning of the race. And then you got to run to the very end to hear that well done. Well, every finish has a start. And today could be the start for someone this morning. If you're ready to come and join the Lord's team and to get into his family, won't you come this morning? Ready to repent from your sins, ready to confess the sweetest name on mortal tongue, Jesus Christ, as Lord, ready to be buried in the water grave of baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, and then to rise to walk in newness of life and to start that journey of striving to sanctify ourselves, to be sanctified and to show that sanctification through our living. If you're ready to start that process, won't you come this morning, as we stand and we sing the song of invitation.